Most people enter marriage dreaming of a lifelong friendship and love affair. Half end in divorce. How can you save your marriage? It is possible for you to enjoy a loving relationship with your husband or wife. But like all relationships, you must apply some simple principles to build a happy marriage. If your marriage is missing a vital spark, then the information we'll share today is important for your happiness. Join us for part two of a Good News Radio special edition, A Recipe for Marriage.
Welcome to the Good News Program, presented by the publishers of the Good News Magazine. The Good News doesn't try to cover up today's problems. This is a program that dares to look at today's dilemmas and ask the questions that must be asked. It seeks the answers that must be found, answers that can only be discovered from the pages of your Bible. Please join Gary Petty for a discussion of today's Good News subject. Last week, we joined Good News Radio host Gary Petty at a live seminar on A Recipe for Marriage from Lafayette, Indiana. Today, we rejoin him for part two.
Now, this verse haunts me a lot, okay? This verse has brought me back in my life, back in focus many times, because there are times I keep remembering, okay, God, she's your daughter, and I'm out of line. She even may be wrong, but I'm out of line. Because I know how I would want my daughters treated. But it says giving honor to the wife as the weaker vessel. This does not mean that she is intellectually weaker, emotionally weaker, inferior in any way. But let's face it, the way we're designed, the average man is 50% to 100% stronger than the average woman. Which means that you can physically intimidate your wife. One of the quickest ways to destroy any trust that a woman can ever have in a man is to physically intimidate her. Think about what it's like for you as a man if you were in a situation where a man, 50, 60, 70 pounds heavier, stronger, intimidated you with the threat of physical violence. You know, you couldn't live in that situation. Nobody can flower, develop, or love another person in that kind of situation. And that's the point he's bringing out here. Physically, we can never use what we have in any way against her. So this isn't talking about her value as a weaker person somehow. It's a very specific thing he's talking about. But this is aimed towards this thing of understanding. You know, what it is to understand somebody is to stand under them so that you are like them. You see what they see, you feel what they feel, and so that you can see the world through their eyes. And for a relationship to develop, we have to understand the other person. The problem is, and the reason that's so hard, is we each have a need to be understood. And we have to set aside our personal need to be understood to understand. And it's so hard, right? And you know, ladies, if he was a woman, he would understand. But he's not, and you don't want him to be. If you've ever said to him, if you loved me, you would know. He loves you, but he has no idea. And now it becomes your personal responsibility to communicate to him. Remember, God made you as his helper. That means he does not know. You must help him. And if you do not, as an equal human being, you must share in the responsibility of the fact that there's a breakdown of communication. If you don't help him understand, then it's not just his breakdown, because you're his helper. And as an equal human being, you have equal responsibility. When we say it is always the other person's responsibility to understand, then we're not equal, are we? If we're equal, we must take on the same responsibilities. The third point, the third ingredient, is in Philippians chapter 2. Now, this is a well-read passage quoted quite often in books and in sermons about the Christian life and relationships between Christians. Well, you know, we're supposed to love our neighbor, and there's no closer neighbor than your husband and your wife. So these verses very much profoundly apply to these relationships we have in our marriages. He says, therefore, the Apostle Paul, in verse 1 of Philippians 2, if there's any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy. Now, is not that what you want in your marriage? If it's a Christian marriage, you want consolation in Christ. You want comfort of love from the other person. You want fellowship of the Spirit. You want affection. You want mercy. He says, Paul says, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and of one mind. Now, if that is the, if those are the instructions for the Christian church, how much more should that be the instructions between husband and wife? Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interest, but also for the interests of others. And that verse 4 is a very, very vital key to understanding how the marriage relationship works and why there's so much conflict. Just like I said at the beginning, that men have to understand that our emotional needs, that we were designed not to be lone wolves, that we are designed to, that this woman helps fulfill part of who we are. Well, of course, women tend to, and I'm talking very general sense, many of them understand that, you know, a need for relationship and desire for relationship at a much deeper level than men do at an earlier age. Men develop into that. And so we come into this relationship with all these needs. And of course, we say, well, the women's needs are so much different than the men's needs. There was a book printed a few years ago, His Needs, Her Needs, in which they did surveys with thousands of people on what are your needs when you come into marriage? What is it that you expect? What is it that you want out of this marriage relationship? Fascinating book, because they found out that there were about 10 needs that they could pinpoint that almost everybody agreed on, men and women. If they come in with the same needs, why can't they fix it? So they asked them to prioritize them, and they're almost exactly opposite in priority. And that explains part of the problem. Same set of needs, but the prioritizing is different. A woman responds to a man once certain needs are met. A man responds to a woman, but they're different. So it's like, why can't we get this to work out? And so one of the greatest secrets, it's a paradox of marriages. You want to have your needs fulfilled. Spend your energy, spend your time fulfilling the other person's needs. But see, in order to do that, you have to first accept that imperfect person and say, this imperfect person is really best for me. I picked him, I picked her. Two, you have to really try to understand that person. You always have to agree, but at least you know why they think the way they think, what they're doing. Because sometimes you'll find out, this happens a lot, where people will actually impute a motive to their mate, and that isn't the motive. But because they don't understand, you must be evil. You know, no sane, righteous, good person would do this. And the other person's thinking, well, I didn't even know what I did. You know, I didn't know it was going to have that kind of effect on you. And then we have to say, okay, I love enough that I will spend my energy trying to fulfill the needs of that person, even when he or she is not always fulfilling my needs. You get two people doing this, and you have a remarkable relationship. But it's so hard, because I know how what the feelings are. See, intellectually, that's an easy thing to say. Emotionally, we say, but wait a minute, I'm so unfulfilled in this area or that area. My needs aren't being met. My desires aren't being met. I'm being treated in a way sometimes that I don't like. Why should I spend my energy doing what she wants, fulfilling her needs? Because it's the way love works.
We'll continue with the Recipe for Marriage with Good News Radio host Gary Petty right after this.
Are you or someone dear to you experiencing marriage difficulties? Here at Good News Radio, we feel that the information presented in this two-part series, A Recipe for Marriage, is so important that we're offering a cassette tape of these programs absolutely free of charge. Discover three important ingredients to a successful and happy marriage. This cassette tape is our free gift to you. Order your copy by calling 1-800-966-9232. That's 1-800-966-9232.
Have you had about all the bad news you can take? Maybe you could use some good news. The Good News is a full-color, bi-monthly magazine that brings you the best news you can hear, and always from a biblical perspective. All literature on this program is provided free as an educational service in the public interest by the United Church of God. It is absolutely free, and there is no charge or obligation. Simply call 1-800-966-9232. The magazine is free. The contents are priceless. The number again is 1-800 866-9232. Or visit us on the web at www.ucg.org. We now return to A Recipe for Marriage with Gary Petty, host of the Good News Radio program.
See, this is the way love works. And we're caught in this idea that love is simply an emotion. Well, there are emotions involved in love. But sometimes when you really love somebody, you do the opposite of how you feel. When one of the kids throws up all over the bathroom sink, you really don't feel like cleaning it up. But you do. I mean, as adults, we do a lot of those things different than what we feel because we understand this has to be done. This is how things work. And it's the same way in the marriage relationship. There are things we have to do that aren't always what we feel because it's how things work. And the emotions follow. Emotions are changed by what we do. You know, there's a tree in the Indonesia. It's called the Upas tree. The Upas tree actually secretes a poison. It grows large and it shades out a large area. And then it secretes a poison. And it literally smothers all other vegetation around it. Just destroys it. I mean, if you see a grove of Upas trees, there's nothing else around. There's not even grass around them. Unfortunately, there are people with unmet needs. And because they can never go outside themselves and try to meet the needs of another person, they're like Upas trees. They destroy the very relationships that they want to have. And they poison by smothering everything around them because they need to have their needs met. I mean, these are real needs. We tend to see those people as bitter and angry and hate-filled people. And that's, unfortunately, what they are. But many times, why are they that way? It's because their personal needs are not met. And so what they do is they actually destroy the people around them. They smother them. They crush them in order to get fulfilled. There's another aspect of fulfillment then we have to come to grips with, and that is your mate can't fulfill all your needs. Your mate was not designed to fulfill all your needs. There's a certain hole in every human being that can only be filled by God. And we can make unreasonable demands on a mate by getting him or her to try to fill something that they can't fill. And how that hole is filled is through God. And you can't expect a mate to do that. But remember, like I said at the beginning, how many times do we spend more energy keeping our car nice or keeping our lawn look nice or nurturing our careers? And if we just spent a fraction of that amount of energy in our marriage, we'd be a whole lot happier. Our lives would be a whole lot better. But when two people, when we look at this fulfilling each other's needs, it is an attitude, an approach. It's not something you can do entirely, but it's an approach to life. What can I do today to help her? What can I do today to help him? As I mentioned before, we're not talking here about extreme problem situations. That's something totally different. It takes different changes of behavior and changes of spiritual understanding and changes of emotions for people to work through certain problems. But in a healthy marriage, each partner is not dedicated to making the other person the right person, but dedicated to becoming the right person. I say that, and I know the moment I say that, there are people saying, but if you only understood him and how he treats me, or if you only understood how she never thinks of me. You know, there's this thought process, emotions mainly, going through. But we have to back up, and we have to say, but what makes it work? Sometimes you can't change another person. You can only change yourself. And we're back to control. Some of the greatest control problems that people have is to let other people control their lives. And we let other people control our emotions. Or we back up, and we strive to become a full, complete person, which gives us more to give to the other person. I want to talk about five things that you can do in the coming week. I'm going to go through five scriptures, very short verses. And you're going to look at most of these and say, well, these have nothing to do with marriage, but they do. Because they have to do with how relationships work. Romans 14:19. Romans 14:19. We could talk about, you know, Ephesians 5 and the structure of marriage. Those are the easy things to deal with. We can talk about the structure of marriage. God did give us a structure to things. But there are a lot of unhappy people that have spent their whole lives living under that structure but never learning how to relate. And the structure right, but they never learned how to relate to each other. Romans 14:19. Therefore, let us pursue the things which make for peace and the things by which one may edify another. If you really want to do this, you have to write it down. And the reason I say you have to write it down, we take these five steps and you write down what you're going to do this week in each of those five steps. And your husband or your wife does the same thing. And what I want you to do is next week, and guys, this can be your assignment, your responsibility. You tell her that you're going to go out next week, next Monday or something. Give yourself a week to do this. And you take her out. Go out to a restaurant, go out to a park, but get out of the house, go someplace in a more relaxed, sort of fun environment. It's also hard to yell at each other in a restaurant, right? Go someplace and discuss how we did this week in these five areas. Now, this first one is about creating peace, right? Let us pursue the things which make for peace and the things by which one may edify another. Now, this isn't avoiding the conflicts. Now, there are certain people with personalities who will take a verse like this and say, okay, I will always do whatever. I will be a husband that just does everything what my wife wants. I'm not a person myself, or a woman will do this. Okay, I'll just do whatever he wants. I'll walk five paces behind him and be subservient, and I am a person and secondary. That's not what this means. It doesn't say pursue peace at all cost, because that's not a relationship. It's not a healthy relationship, but it's a relationship. And so we're not talking about, once again, pursuing appeasement so that each one person feels totally just subservient and beat up and meaningless to another person. But we are saying that peace is what we want, so let's pursue it. What can you do today to bring peace to your mate? Now, it may be something as simple as, it bugs me how he squeezes the toothpaste in the middle. But today, I will decide that's not that important. I mean, let's pick our battles wisely, We fight way too many battles we don't have to. I mean, there can come a point where you squeeze the toothpaste doesn't even matter anymore. You don't even think about it. But right now, we're just talking about an approach to life. Something you can do that a week from now you can sit down and have a conversation about. You can relate. You can accept and understand and think about each other's needs.
We'll continue with the recipe for marriage with Good News Radio host Gary Petty right after this.
Are you or someone dear to you experiencing marriage difficulties? Here at Good News Radio, we feel that the information presented in this two-part series, A Recipe for Marriage, is so important that we're offering a cassette tape of these programs absolutely free of charge. Discover three important ingredients to a successful and happy marriage. This cassette tape is our free gift to you. Order your copy by calling 1-800-966-9232. That's 1-800-966-9232.
We now return to A Recipe for Marriage with Gary Petty, host of the Good News Radio program.
Ephesians 4:29. That's their second point. Once again, the Apostle Paul, he writes, "Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification that may impart grace to the hearers." Write down, what am I going to do today so that when I say something to him or I say something to her, it imparts something good to him. I've always told ladies, sometimes you don't understand the male ego. You cannot tell him enough good things. I know it works the other way too. Remember, we'll see the movie Jeremiah Johnson. He marries a woman from an Indian tribe that can't speak English. So the first things he teaches her is yes. And he thumps his chest and says, "Fine figure of a man, yes." And she says, "Yes." To him at that moment, it's the perfect marriage. Yes. I mean, yes, that's what she said to everything. Now, of course, that's ridiculous. And as the movie goes on, he actually loves this woman. They build a partnership. But we say so many negative things about our mates, things we would never say to somebody else. Even if we felt it, even if we thought it, we'd never say it to somebody else, but we'll say it to her or we'll say it to him. Let no corrupt communication. What can I do today? And I'm not saying you're going to be perfect. There's going to be times where you're going to say something and say, "Ooh, I shouldn't have said that. That's good." That means you were now thinking in terms of that probably, you know, the look in her face, that probably didn't do what I wanted it to do. But remember why we're being motivated so much of the time. She didn't fulfill some need, so you're going to bang her with, you know, with these words. You're just going to hit her as hard as you can with these words. Same way. He didn't do something you needed. Maybe he said he would do something and he forgot about it because he was hanging around with the guys and doing guy stuff and he didn't clean out the garage. And so you want to just slam him as hard as you can with words. What can I do today to edify him with words? What can I do today to say something good to him? Once a day. Just once a day. Can you do that? Third point. Verse 30. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking put away from you with all malice. Now, we know we're supposed to treat other people this way, but we almost never take these verses and apply them to our mates. I mean, I've said things to my wife I've never said to anybody else. Let frustration out that I've never... Why? You know, well, see, we let each other into this inner being. And then the person, you know, well, they hurt me because I let them in. Bitterness, you see a lot of marriages... Or they may even stay together, but they're bitter. Of course, the root of bitterness is we're angry because a need hasn't been met, and we won't forgive. I mean, what are we going to do? The day we die, say, huh, finally I'll show you, because I'll die before you do. What do we do? What amount of payback do we want? It's not worth it. How many todays are ruined because you're paying back for something that happened? Because something he or she said a month ago or 6 months ago or 10 years ago or 20 years ago. While inside you're screaming, but he hurt my feelings when he said this. And inside your head is, but you got to forgive him. You know, what are you going to do? Never talk to him again? You haven't talked to him in 3 days. Come on, let it go. And inside you're saying, no. And it's not that those feelings are always, it's not that they're wrong. You can't live with that. That'll destroy you. I mean, hurt is hurt. It's not right or wrong. It's what we do with the hurt that makes it right or wrong. So hurt is hurt. You know, and we hurt each other all the time in marriage, and many times we don't even mean it. So we have to let go of this bitterness. And that takes us to the fourth point, which is verse 32. And be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, just as God in Christ also forgave you. You know, many times... Marriage counselors say, really, the most three important words is, I love you. I'm not sure about that. Because a person can say, I love you, and they mean I have an emotional feeling for you. They can mean I love you and mean it on all different kinds of levels. They can mean it on the agape level, the God level. They can say, I love you, which means I have sexual desire for you. They can mean say, I love you, and if they're trying to manipulate the other person, you know, it's a meaningless phrase. It is important that we say that to each other. But I think the most important three words is, I am sorry. And the reason why is, think about our three ingredients. When you say, I am sorry, and you mean it, what you say is, I accept you and you're hurt. You're not even saying I was 100% wrong. That's not the point. Because you might know, I wasn't totally wrong in this. That's not the point. The point is, I accept who you are and that you are hurt. Two, I understand who you are and that you are hurt. I understand it. And three, you have a need for me to say I'm sorry, to show that I accept and understand. Now we can begin to relate. And now maybe we can actually begin to deal with the issue. So the fifth point is, make a commitment to pray every day for God to bless your marriage. See, we pray for all kinds of things. But how much effort, think of all the times you've prayed for God to give you some physical blessing, and how much time and effort have we put into praying, God, help him, help her, help us. There's no perfect marriages, but what a great way to live life, growing as a couple and building a family. Norman Wright has a poem that he wrote. It's called, No Marriage is Perfect. He says, no marriage is perfect. Marriage is a daily creation, not a packaged product. Marriage is like a child who needs to be picked up and hugged and given personal attention. Marriage is not something simple, to be weighed against expectations and rejected when found short. Marriage needs delicate touch and patient treatment. The handling of it cannot always be thought out ahead of time. Often the way must be felt slowly, gently, and in the dark. The danger is not the dark. The danger is losing hope or patience. Sometimes life is dark. Every relationship has its periods of darkness where you just don't know how to make it work. The danger isn't that. The danger is when you stop trying, when you stop working, when you stop putting the energy needed for the two of you to eventually come out of the darkness. That darkness doesn't last forever. God ordained marriage. And He didn't leave us here without instructions on how to make relationships work. Who is the cook in the kitchen of your marriage?
You've been listening to Good News Radio host Gary Petty. Be sure and join us next time when we continue to explore what the Bible really says about you and your future here on Good News Radio.
Are you or someone dear to you experiencing marriage difficulties? Here at Good News Radio, we feel that the information presented in this two-part series, A Recipe for Marriage, is so important that we're offering a cassette tape of these programs absolutely free of charge. Discover three important ingredients to a successful and happy marriage. This cassette tape is our free gift to you. Order your copy by calling 1-800-966-9232. That's 1-800-966-9232.
You've been listening to the Good News Radio program, presented by the publishers of the Good News magazine. We seek the answers that must be found, answers that can only be discovered from the pages of your Bible. To receive your free copy of the literature offered on today's program, please call toll-free 1-800-966-9232. There is absolutely no cost or obligation. 1-800-966-9232.